Well, after years of raising children who are now starting their own families, perhaps your own parents are aging and need your help. Where does that leave your marriage? I'm Brian Patrick, and we're concluding our four-part series on marriage and family. Life after kids is our topic here in the fourth quarter on Crossing the Goal. We have reached the fourth quarter as we kick off here in our final in our four-part series on marriage and family. There is life after kids. Here's our Crossing the Goal team, Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, Founder and President of Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. And Danny, you and I have experienced this. You grow up, the kids grow up, they're gone, then what?
I think what happens a lot of times, the husband and wife wake up one morning, the kids are gone, and they find out the two of them don't have much in common. Their whole life was based around the kids only.
No, now, and I am much younger than you, so yeah, I don't know.
You look older, but you know.
Right. And so I'm not quite there yet, but I do realize in the midst of all of the raising the kids, you get so busy, and I think for us, to really learn to try to continue to develop those habits of sharing life together.
Guys, I'm thinking about my mom right now. You know, my father passed away just more than a little over 10 years ago. My mom's 90. She's one of our biggest fans. She watches all the time, and she says she waves to me, but I never wave back. So tonight, Mom, I want to wave to you and say thank you. And the reason I want to bring up, Mom and Dad had seven kids and more than 35 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I've kind of lost the count. Every grandchild and great-grandchild love to go to Grandma and Grandpa's house. To this day, they still, no matter how old they are, got a huge role to play as grandparents in the lives of kids.
And part of this phase of our lives is caring for our aging parents. Danny and I have had some direct experience with that, so these guys are going to let us handle the game plan.
Wow.
You ready?
There you go. Okay, I'm ready. Let's
sit tight. We'll get over there. That's the game plan's next here on Crossing the Goal.
It's funny because, you know, growing up, you can kind of begin to think that being a Christian man, being a Catholic man, somehow means that you're not a tough, strong man. And that's just really not the case. And I take pride in the fact that, yes, I have faith, but I look forward to physical confrontations, you know, when I was on the football field. I don't get those anymore, but, you know, I really enjoyed that part of it, the physical part of it. And I know that God wants strong Catholic men. He wants, you know, now that it's not physical, it's mental and it's spiritual, but he wants warriors that are going to fight for the faith.
We're in the game plan here on Crossing the Goal, and no, don't adjust your set. This is the Gray Panther segment. Peter and Curtis have allowed us to actually sit at the podium. I always wonder what it felt like to be over
exactly.
Here.
Exactly.
Feels good. We're going to break this segment down because Danny and I have been through this experience of, you know, after life after kids. We're going to break it down into the husband and wife relationship. We never really stop being a parent. Our young adult children and being adult children and helping our aging parents. So, Danny, in this husband and wife relationship after the kids are gone, what do you think is number one?
I think communication plays a big part because, as I mentioned in the kickoff, that they wake up and they don't have much in common. My wife and I will be out to dinner and see an elderly couple having dinner and no communication at all, just staring out in the space or a guy's looking at TV or something. So we have to open the lines of communication up more.
Well, I know you and Claudia are really on a parallel path with your faith, but I would imagine if there's a disparity in the faith life of two people, especially at this age, it could become a real problem.
Well, I think that's the strength of our marriage. I always say the common bond is our faith, the Holy Spirit in our marriage. So many times out here you find that one parent, and usually it's the wife, has the faith is really growing, and the husband, for some reason, is going in the opposite direction. When that occurs, the communication's broke down, you have all kind of problems, and it's so sad you even see divorce as a result.
But a faith-filled life really leads to love and respect in a relationship, and that's where long-term relationships really need to be.
Well, that's what it's all about, the faith part. If we are grabbing hold of this world out here and just that's what's going to make our happiness and peace and joy, we're in trouble. The real joy and peace and happiness comes into the relationship with Jesus Christ, and even better, the bond with you and your wife in that relationship and using the sacraments and prayer and all that kind of stuff.
And just because our kids grow up, we never really stop being parents. And that's a good thing, because you might think, well, that's all I've ever been is a parent. What am I now? We're still a parent. It's a different relationship.
It never stops. You know, just thinking about this, when they're younger, you have a lot of little problems. But as they grow older, you have less problems, but they're much bigger.
That's right. When they're in grade school and high school, they need $10, $20,
oh, yeah,
$100. You get into college and it's $5,000.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
my dad gave me a $5 bill and said, see you later, yeah, son, good job out there.
You know, when my kids were calling for money, I always thought of that as a blessing. It was a way for me to stay in touch with them. I knew they needed to call me at some point because they were going to run out of money. So that was one positive way of looking at it. But, you know, when the kids get off to college, though, our worries really begin
because that's the first time they're away from home and you start wondering, man, what are they going to do? Are they practicing their faith? And all the traps out there, you know, the chastity, what are they getting involved with, the drinking, the alcohol? All these things start playing in your mind and you start worried about it. But just what you have to do is stay in touch with them. Even, you know, they're away, they want to have their space, but we have to be there for them.
I raised girls. All three are now married. And when a girl gets married, their allegiance switches from dad to husband. So
yes,
it's been a bit of an adjustment. And one of the things I've learned is to still be a dad to them, but don't get in the way of that relationship at all, especially when they start raising children together.
Well, Brian, you're right. It's their family. It's not our family. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do it their way. But you have to be there. And a lot of times they'll come to you for advice. But sometimes we get a little push and try to get into it. And
don't give advice they don't ask for.
And you start worrying. You know, you want them. You're thinking about not only your children, but you're also thinking of the grandchildren also.
And we're not responsible for them on a day-to-day basis. But one thing I really believe is, as grandparents, we have some responsibility, especially for their spiritual life.
Yes.
My grandson, Christian, knows that when Papa comes to visit, he goes to Mass.
Right.
And he wants to go to church with Papa so he can sing Alleluia.
Yeah, we not only do that, and we bring him up in the front row and sit him in the front row. We go to daily Mass with him, and my daughter says, you're taking him to daily Mass? What happens if they act that? Well, we'll take him in the back. You know, that's what we're going to do. But that makes a difference. And when they get up in the front and they get involved and they see Granny and Papa doing that, then they start doing it. They emulate what we do.
Yeah, this is really a fun time of life, but it can also be very demanding in the sense that many people who have had grown children are now taking care of their aging parents. You and I just experienced that in a very deep way just this past year.
Yeah, we did. You know, we found out that it was a blessing. It ended up a blessing.
Indeed.
Many times kids lose patience with their elderly parents, and they have short memories. They can't remember when these people changed your diapers and all the things they did. Now they're getting a little bit older. Not only do we not have patience with them, we don't give them the respect that they are due.
And the Lord demands that. I mean, we talk about being pro-life. That means to the very end of life. And I was blessed. My mom was with the Little Sisters of the Poor in Denver, and they treat the elderly with such dignity. And as you said, it was such a blessing. And when they can't remember anymore and they repeat things and eventually couldn't even talk, we just need to be able to be there with them.
Be there. Just be there. Be present. And let them do whatever they want to do. Do it their way. And be open to whatever they want to do. Whatever story they started talking about. My dad was pretty sharp about 50 years ago. He would start telling stories about that. Oh, really, Dad? And just went with it. And it was such a blessing all the way up until he passed away. My brother and I were there with him.
And now that our parents have passed away, we are now that generation.
Yeah, we need these guys like this taking care of us.
That's right. I'm sure they'll have something to say about that
exactly.
In the red zone. Peter?
Peter? Excuse me, what?
Oh,
Peter,
sorry.
Game plan? Go.
Is it time for the game plan?
Yeah.
No, the red zone.
Oh, guys, you did it. You guys did a great job.
You had our attention all the way.
Oh, yeah.
Stay tuned. We're going to be back for our final red zone on this marriage series. We're going to have Michael Ann and my wife Debbie with us, as well as Curtis, Brian, myself, and Grandpa Danny.
Grandpa.
Stay tuned.
You take that, Grandpa Danny. Here we are, man.
Let's come down to this. We're in the red zone, fourth quarter in our series on marriage and family, and we're talking about life after kids. And Danny, you recently went through quite a bit with your dad that you found rewarding in the long run.
This was an amazing situation. You know, in February, my dad was put in the hospice. He said, it's over with. And he pulls out of it, and he keeps living. And we were praying. He was deteriorating. We would say, Lord, why are you keeping him around? You know, he's suffering so much. He's dwindling away. He's not eating or anything like that. And as we get further along, my wife and I realized it was for us. Mm-hmm. We had the greatest opportunity to see my dad transform into a pretty gruff guy. He was always a spiritual guy. But he was pretty tough. He drank a little bit. And so we prayed with him, and he responded. And what a wonderful, we saw the real side of my father. What a blessing that was. And I thanked the Lord at the end for allowing us to experience that.
No kidding. And even I would say the beauty of grandparents, having grandparents that are involved in your children's lives, even long distance, as our family is. Our children have fond, golden memories of praying with our parents. And what surprises me is I'm talking boys, teenage boys, praying the rosary with their grandfather is something they come home and tell us about. And the power that grandparents have to love, to pray for their grandchildren, but actually to witness the faith on a whole new level. Because now our boys see grandfather's a big, strong man, and he prays the rosary. And he prayed with us. And that was a real honoring experience.
Yeah.
I got to say, there was a sad part in this, though. In that period of time, what I did find out, too, how many adult children ignore their parents in the home. They were not there. And it was so sad. And I felt we were blessed, and my dad was blessed to have us. And there was no animosity. My brother came in. There was no fighting. We didn't have to apologize for anything.
Don't miss that for anything. I had a similar experience with my mom this past year. I was able to be with her night and day for the last couple of weeks of her life, thanks to the Little Sisters of the Poor, where she lived in Denver. And I wouldn't trade those moments for anything.
I mean, both of you guys, really, I want to honor both of you guys. You were so impressive in your faithfulness to your parents. And we were close to you guys as you were going through that process. And you fulfilled the commandment, honor your father and your mother. And you guarded their dignity. You know the things your father went through as you know, the dementia thing starts setting in, how difficult that is. You were his champion. You were in his corner.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Really
Let
fantastic.
Let me ask you guys a question. How does it bug you when grandpa, granny come and get involved with your house and maybe sometimes with the children? Tell me a little bit about that so I can learn.
It definitely has its challenges.
Yeah. It's such a blessing, so far outweighs it. You know, I think that's been one of the heartaches that my clan and I have gone through. We've been 1,500 or more miles away from our parents most of our parenting life. And to know that we are missing out on the opportunity to share more life. And so when they do come, it is unbelievably rich. At the same time, we're not used to it. And so there's often kind of, how do those gears mesh? And so it's a both and, you know, trying to really enjoy the blessing, to drink deeply of that at the same time. How to do it without stepping on toes.
Yeah, we never stop being parents.
Right.
I don't think we know how. I know I don't.
I think for us, we had a little different situation this year. My mom was diagnosed with cancer and passed away within 6 weeks. But during those 6 weeks, my kids got to spend some special time with her. And there was a weekend where they all came to me, the kids, and said, we want to go and spend the weekend with Grandma. And I said, great, when are we going? They said, you're not going. This is our weekend to have with Grandma. And they spent the 4th of July weekend with her. That was her last weekend alive, that they got to be with their Grandma, and the impact that that's had on their life. And so I think you just never know how long they're going to be around. And so you know, we want to welcome them into our life, even if it's inconvenient, even if they don't do things exactly the same way we do, because it means so much to the kids to have that and to have that legacy.
You know, Debbie, I had an opportunity, thanks to my mom and dad making it available to me, to go with my mother when my grandfather was near death. And it was a life-changing experience for me, you know, and if to not have had that opportunity to be in front of him. I think so many people in our culture, we never confront death.
Yeah.
And what a blessing it is to be able to watch somebody go through a holy death while you're at a pivotal young age and see, you know what, life is involves some very, very serious experiences. Mm-hmm. There's not a
period in my life that I don't go back and think about that very amazing time that I had. And it was a great time with my mom and I also, I think, really a powerful time for the two of us.
I'd like to share a little something about the circle of life, because really this is what we're talking about. Death is really the opposite or the other end of birth. And while we were praying and staying with my mom in her final days, my oldest daughter called me and said, "Dad, you know that boy that I was pregnant with? We just found out it's a girl." And I said, "Oh, what a beautiful gift." And she said, "And we want to name her Eva," which was my mother's name. Like, there's the circle of life.
Yeah, that's
and little beautiful. Eva will be born around Christmas time.
That's really
you know,
exciting.
And I can remember, I was telling these young couples here that what a great experience of parenting, but also then your kids are gone and they have their own families, then the grandchildren come in. And I can remember our first grandson, Dylan, like it was at preemie, and they laid him. They laid him on my chest, my bare chest, and I stayed there for 3 hours. Not move. I wouldn't do that for anyone in the world.
Yeah.
The experience of now these four grandsons that we have right now, kids cannot deny their parents to come in and be a part of the family, even though they're a pain in the butts. I know we are, but you cannot do that because it destroys the granny and papa.
Yeah. And so many grandparents, they say, are living on their own, and some of their kids have forgotten about them. And, you know, the adventure continues all the way till the end, and you have a mission, and you have a life. And my mom is a mighty intercessor. She prays, you know, she's 90 years old, she can't do much. She's praying that rosary, she watches EWTN through the day, but she's praying, and she's got lists, all her grandkids, and all the things they want to pray for. Mom prayed our whole family into the kingdom of God, and you're a warrior, you're a mighty woman of God, mighty man of God. It doesn't matter if your body is wasting away. You're strong in the Lord. The Lord's in you, and you have value, and you can still really bring God's life and God's love to your family wherever you are, whatever age you are.
I think that's so true, and that love in prayer, in action, shows itself also in the ability to communicate. Just as a married couple communicates, we constantly need to communicate in love and charity with our parents, sometimes explaining the quirky things of the children, sometimes explaining quirky things between us.
And it's a challenge because their life has time for a relationship, and it feels like our life is overwhelmed with responsibilities, and to try to say, yes, but this is really fundamentally important, and there's a lot of urgent things going on in our life, but that relationship is so important. It's a challenge. I think we talk about it, pray about it. How do we make this more central to us? I won't say we've nailed it yet, but it's something we hold very dearly.
Well, everything we do, obviously, we model for our children, and so the way we relate to our parents is the way they will relate to us as we get older, and so we have to keep that in mind, too, when we're teaching them.
We've really become family here. You guys are really kind of coming up in this, and we're sort of looking down now. We are the generation that my mom and your dad were.
You're the patriarchs.
I'd like to hit something in here, too, is important. We not only go up to babysit, but we go up to relieve our daughter or daughter-in-law and them others. We go up to now. What we want you to do is get dressed up tonight and go out to dinner and forget about it. Don't talk about the kids. Go out and be yourselves.
So what are you two guys doing next weekend?
You better watch out.
We're in our house.
Just write in. Danny and Brian are available.
No,
just write
in any
time. Claudia asked, as soon as the phone rings, we're going. Okay, we're going. We're going to Denver. We're going to whatever. So, you know, our daughter calls, our daughter-in-law calls, and we're gone.
Yeah, this has been a great series on marriage and family. We want to thank Debbie Herbeck and Michael Ann Martin for joining us here. It really added something very, very special. And Danny and I especially want to thank our late parents. My mother, Eva Smith.
Paper Abramovich. Abramovich, Pepper DiPrenzio, my father-in-law, who just passed away too not long ago.
And you all mentioned, you know, your mom and, and others who have passed recently. So I think it'd be appropriate that we end this series in prayer and thoughtful prayer for members of our family who have gone before us. So let's pray.
Let's do.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you have blessed us with this wonderful gift of family. And you've blessed us with this time together on Crossing the Goal to talk more about it and share it with our EWTN audience. We thank you especially for the parents who brought us into this world and raised us. We thank you for the children that you allowed us to raise, that you gave us for a time to bring up in your law and in your love. We thank you for our grandchildren, those little ones who just remind us that life is precious. It's a wonderful gift from you. And we thank you for our Cross and the Gold family, not just those who are on camera, but those who are all around us producing this television show. Thank you, Lord, and we pray for all those who have passed on, who have gone before us, that we may follow in their footsteps, living a good life, faithful to you, and to be able to live with you forever in heaven. And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen. Amen.
That's a fitting way to wrap up our series on marriage and family, don't you think?
I think it's great.
So. And it was great to expand our Crossing the Gold family with Michael Ann Martin and Debbie Herbeck. You guys were great. I hope you'll come back.
Definitely. Yeah. Thanks.
And I bet you guys still have something else to say, don't you?
Of course. We'll work something out.
Yeah, we always try to come up with the last word. Exactly. We push into the end zone here on Crossing the Gold next. Stay with us.
I mean, prayer is the ultimate key to everything. We pray together as a group of men. We pray together individually, and we can count on each other for that pick-me-up, so to speak, if we need it. Just knowing that you're not alone, that you have other people out there, that you have other people that share your beliefs and practice the faith with you, that you can rely on them and count on them. As Catholics, we need to stand together, and we need to face and fight back with all the challenges in the world.
We've reached the end zone in the fourth quarter here in our series on marriage and family on Crossing the Goal. Let's get the last word now, starting with Peter Herbeck.
I just want to say thank you to my mother, Dorothy Herbeck, and by extension to all the grandparents over there. Thank you for all the years, all the tears, all the meals, all the diaper changing, all the hard work you've done and the love that you've poured out. Never forget that your life has infinite value. God knows you and He loves you. He will never fail you nor forsake you.
That's great, Peter. And you know, as we spend time on these topics, I just would like to express the gratitude that I have in my heart for my parents, Brock and Carol Martin, and for the years of heartache that I put you through because I was a prodigal son, as you know. And you never stopped loving me and caring for me. This is a pattern that's gone through my life. I have been not an easy one to care for, and yet I've never had to doubt your love for me. You have modeled Christ's love in my life and led me on a path that hopefully will bring us all together in heaven. Thank you.
Two things I like to say is, one is the marriages out there that are in the twilight of their time, really think about it and how much both of y'all mean to one another. Don't give up. Just keep hanging in there and look at the positive things of each other bring to the marriage. And finally, I want to say, Dylan, Jonathan, Anthony, Ward, Papa loves you.
Yeah. All right, and I'd just like to thank God for the good, strong Catholic marriages of my three daughters, Heather and Scott, Alicia and Greg, and Angela and Ryan. And I just pray for them and just keep up the great work. For Peter Herbeck and his wife Debbie, Curtis and Michael Ann Martin, Coach Danny Abramowitz, I'm Brian Patrick. Thanks for joining us for Crossing the Goal, our series on marriage and family. We'll see you next time right here on Crossing the Gold.